And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I like the view.
You do?
Yes.
You're my best view.
Yeah. I mean, you're so sweet.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, May 5th. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
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 The international man of mystery, taking it to the max. You all right, Lee?
No, I'm not. I missed the A-O. That hasn't happened before.
What's going on? That was very weird. I didn't know if you were muted or not. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Off to a great start. We're a little late, too, getting started here because we fell down a deep, I guess, Shaq booger hole. People were tweeting or, I guess, commenting in the stream team that we were going to talk 10 minutes about Shaq's big booger last night. We were all like, what? I didn't even see this. So then, of course, we're looking up the video. Yeah, Shaq had a giant booger last night.
Yeah, we went up the nostril hole. It was a long way, Skeets. And so, yeah, we're giving you a sweet 10 minutes here, right off the top, talking boogers.
Yeah.
Do you tell someone when they've got the booger, or do you just hope someone else tells them?
No, you 100%. On TV, you should absolutely
No, I'm saying in a social situation, if it was one of your friends and they got the obvious booger, do you say, hey, you got a booger? Or,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so
I
you
can
don't,
see,
obviously.
You just let them dangle?
Well, it just sometimes you do, and just sometimes it's like, if there's someone's talking, and it's like, how do you go about this? Do you sort of just slyly go up to them and just tap them and say, quick, you got a booger? Or do you just say, whoa, like my friend Louie, who I still remember to this day, one day I was in that situation and I'm talking away and Louie just goes, Ellis, you've got one huge booger right now.
Yeah, fair. And you got your hankies and your cleanies always hanging out of pockets anyway.
It ends that topic immediately, though, and everyone starts talking about the booger. So,
And that seems to be what happened on TNT last night as well, because you had, they just kept showing the clips of Dwayne Wade kind of going like this, wiping at his nose, trying to send the message to Shaq, but eventually... You just got to come out and say it. There's a booger in your nose. And then talking about boogers for 5 minutes. It's unavoidable. Like you're saying, Lee, that's the only thing you're allowed to talk to as soon as the word booger is mentioned.
Boogers, man. Crazy, aren't they?
Crazy.
Just growing in our noses.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Leave your comments. Leave your boogers below in the YouTube comments. And subscribe. Hey, for all you podcast Apple listeners, too, don't forget to drop a rating and a review to help us with the rankings. It's Five Star Friday on this week's Drop Podcast.
Indeed it is.
So you might possibly get name dropped by Trey Kirby there in the Five Star Friday segment on the drop. So please do that. And shout out to all our podcast listeners. You know, we're always showing love recently to the YouTube people. But yeah, our diehards listen to the podcast. Well, I was going to say we see you, but we absolutely don't. But we hear you, or you hear us. God, this is a weird one already, isn't it? Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Step and podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. We're going to hit the beach later today to answer your questions. Yeah, it's Wednesday. So join us live at 3 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, and we obviously flip that around into a podcast as soon as we possibly can. So Beach Step in later today. And finally, grab your No Dunks merch, like this beauty shirt I got. I love the purple right there. Boom. Over at nodunks.com. Okay. Let's get into the games. We'll play a little Is This News later, and we got a weird tweet of the night exchange involving me and Kevin Durant. But games, Lele, get us started. Are you ready to talk? Are you okay,
Lele? I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Hey, Lee, you got a huge booga. I'm just kidding.
Well, with the mustache as well now, they get stuck in that as well.
That is true. The Bucks rallied in the fourth to beat the Nets. again. 124, 118. They've clinched a playoff spot, and this is obviously a big win in terms of tiebreakers. But what'd you see from this one, Lee? Milwaukee, again, getting the best of Brooklyn down the stretch. No James Harden, but another good victory.
Yeah, but if you've got Kevin Durant, there's no hollow victory there from the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, he was out there. He was playing hard, and so was Kyrie Irving. And we've seen this season, it is hard in this sort of baseball-style format to win two games in a row against the same team. But the Bucks did that last night to clinch the series. And this is huge in terms of the standings, because it looks more and more like these two teams will meet in that second round of the playoffs, assuming everyone wins out as they should. And the Bucks are still a game and a half back of the Nets, so they can still grab it. I mean, you'd still think the Nets probably get it from here. But I think psychologically it's important as well here for Milwaukee to be like, hey, we can run with these guys. Again, no James Harden, sure, but they had to win the game last night. It wasn't as though Steve Nash decided to rest his players or anything. And I think that fourth quarter was key, because the one weakness the Nets have is that, you know, they don't love playing defense. They don't want to have to play. They want to just outscore teams. And in that fourth quarter, trailing by 6 points, the Bucks really decided to attack the paint. Middleton, Holiday, Giannis, DiVincenzo all scored high percentage looks. And if you look at their shot chart from that fourth quarter, only two shots made from outside the paint. One was a three, and then one was a long two from Chris Middleton. So for me, I think what was really key here is the Bucks are like, we have to keep putting pressure on these guys defensively. And that's what they did, again, in the critical moment of that game, where it looked like maybe the Nets are just going to start to open the gap up a little bit here. Giannis sat for a minute. They didn't lose too much ground. He comes back out there and he led the way. Now, he hit another four threes last night, but he took 12. So the Nets are kind of like, we'll let you have that. He had a good game. He didn't have a huge game by his standards.
Yeah.
But he got a lot of contribution. Holiday again, Middleton, DiVincenzo, guys contributed. So impressive back-to-back wins here from the Milwaukee Bucks. Looking bigger picture, I think they can take some things out of this that they know come playoff time they're going to have to try to exploit if they are going to beat the Nets in a series. I would still take the Nets in a series today for a couple of reasons, but I feel that it wouldn't be a sweep or anything like that. I think the Bucks have got at least a game plan, and they have got the tools to at least make it competitive here and put the Nets under pressure.
Yeah, the Bucks were down 103-97 with about 10 minutes to go, and then they responded with an 18-1 run. TK and obviously changed the game around and held on the end. KD had some good looks at some three-pointers that just did drop. It would have made it like a two-point game or something like that. It would have been very, very close. But I thought Dante DiVincenzo was awesome for the Bucks. That guy was everywhere last night. And then Lee said it, Middleton was the closer in this one, going 6-for-6, I believe, there in the fourth quarter.
6-for-6 in the fourth, and like you're mentioning, Dante DiVincenzo, 4 offensive rebounds. I thought he was also pretty good as a cutter as well, just finding ways to make an impact while being, you know, maybe the fourth option at best for that Bucks team. That 18-1 run in the fourth, that was massive. The game was teetering. Felt like the Nets had a chance to really take hold of things, but then Middleton and Jrue Holiday working together I thought was nice, because with Jrue Holiday being such a solid ball handler, such a solid playmaker, Middleton doesn't always have to attack the defense head on. Sometimes he gets a bent defense, and in that scenario, you got an all-star going against maybe the third best defender on the Nets team. That's easy money right there. You gotta love it. Love the truth-telling after the game as well. Steve Nash, I thought, was pretty honest. He said they were overall more physical than us on both ends. That was 100% true. A 55-29 rebound advantage for the Bucks. Also outscored the Nets in the paint, 44-30. That is a clear point in favor for the Bucks. Like Lee's saying, they should be able to crush Brooklyn inside, and you can see that that was obviously the game plan, with Giannis shooting the ball quite a bit. Like you said, Skeets, 12 threes, but he also took 12 free throws. If you're making 11 of those and you're making 4 threes, that ends up being all right. There is certainly hay to be made for the Bucks inside against the Nets. I also like what Nash said. We've got a gap to make up here regarding continuity. We understand that the Bucks are a team that's been running the same offense, been playing together, same schemes on defense for years now. This has been a question everybody has been asking about the Brooklyn Nets. Have they played enough games together with their big three to get things going right in the playoffs? Even Steve Nash is saying, I don't know. You know, everybody's saying you don't need to be worried about it. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden are three of the best in the game at being able to just roll out the ball and go out there and get a win. And that's certainly true. But even Steve Nash is saying, I don't know. This is a little bit on my mind. And I'm guessing that's because it's got to feel a little bit like Suns versus Spurs for him. You've got the Spurs, an established team who crushes it inside. Meanwhile, the Suns are an offensive first team, just like the Nets are, and they're trying to take down a team that's already been there and done a little bit of stuff together. And I also thought Giannis was telling the truth when he said, yeah, this was great. Nobody will care if I don't do it in the playoffs. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this was a fun game, a fun playoff preview. And I think it's going to look a lot like this in game one of this series, assuming they meet in the second round. You know, the Nets are going to give jumpers to Giannis to start off with. If he's making them, that's going to be a problem for the Nets. And they still got to find a way to keep him off the line. But Giannis has to do it in the playoffs or else nobody's going to care about your win on May 4th.
Yeah, as everybody knows, I got this bet going with Tass. $100 on the line. So a decent little bet here. He has the Nets going to the finals. And this bet was made when they acquired James Harden. I said, I don't know. You know, it's weird to just slap together a super team and go right to the finals right away. So I took the field. I will say, if Tass is going to come through with this $100 from me, he's going to have to earn it. I mean, the Nets are. Because I am praying that even if the Nets stay in the second seed, that let's say the Heat fall into the play-in, but win that game and they're the seventh seed. I want the Nets have to go through the Heat in a first round. Okay, sure. You know, it's still a good Miami team, of course.
Tough,
but I think most people would have the Nets going on. Then I want them to play the Bucks in the second round, because as we've seen, no Harden, but obviously the Bucks are a great team, have a lot of things to prove. That continuity could be huge. And then maybe the Sixers there in the conference finals. I want to make it difficult. If Tass is going to take $100 from me, I want him to be difficult. So,
That's that's plausible what you say there. I mean, the Heat, you know, are going to be tough. No Jimmy Butler last night, but just like they were last season, what they finished fifth, I think, and made it all the way to the NBA finals. So, you know, they are going to make the Nets work. The Nets, I guess, would be favorite in that series. But I just think that, you know, if you're looking at the Bucks last night, again, you just want to say, we played a really good team and we played them really, really well in two tough games that we had to sort of win these games. Like I was saying earlier, there wasn't any like resting of players other than obviously Harden, who's injured. But the Nets were trying to win these games because they want home court advantage. Yeah. And if they can, they want to overtake the Philadelphia 76ers. So, you know, the Nets were trying to win these games. There was nothing about it here that Milwaukee did that wasn't in some way, you know, an underscored victory or anything like that. They had to play hard and they did. And Giannis led the way, but it wasn't just Giannis. They got contributions from everybody, and that's what they're going to need. And Mikey Budenholzer, he's a tough watch on the sideline.
Did you say Boogerholzer?
He's a very stressed guy on the sideline. He hangs off every single basket and every single play. But listen, he got the job done over the last 3 days, so good for him.
All right, our next game, Lonzo Ball bounced back with 33 points, TK. Pelicans top the Warriors 108-103. They are holding on by a thread here with their chances to try and get into this play-in tournament. What'd you take away from this one?
That's right, Ski. Just the night after nearly finishing with negative hero points, almost becoming a supervillain, Lonzo Ball pulled a Loki and became a good guy. 33 on the night, 7 threes, a step-back jumper with 25 seconds left. Really tough shot. Put the Pelicans up, and Lee, you gotta love it. 4-4 from the free throw line in the last 15 seconds to ice things for the Pelicans. Obviously, this came just a day after going 3 of 18 in a loss to the Warriors as well. Apparently, Lonzo texted Zion after losing that first game saying, I'll be better during the second go-around. He was true to his word, which is not something you can always count on from Loki. But just when you thought the play-in race was over, the Pelicans pull off a really nice win, keep things interesting. They're two games back of the Spurs right now. The Spurs got a tough schedule here. They've got the Jazz, the Bucks, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Suns twice. Plus, you can throw in a Blazers game. I think they got one more as well. The Pelicans, meanwhile, have all playoff teams left on their schedule, too. It's going to be tight going down the stretch here. It definitely felt like this could have gone the other way and we could be done with the play-in races, but I don't know. Still a little bit of intrigue left here during the last couple weeks of the season.
Yeah. You think the Pelicans can do it, Lele, especially with the Spurs? Because I think the Warriors sort of did their part here with the at least the split from these two. I believe they do have one more, right? But... You know, that's like they have the tiebreaker, so that's in their advantage. But maybe it is the Spurs if there is one of these teams in the West that falls out and the Pelicans have a chance. But you're not loving, you're making a grimace over there.
It just feels like they've got to be almost perfect down the stretch here, the Pelicans, to overcome. And again, and I say an experienced team. I mean, really, that Spurs team outside of like DeRozan and Patty Mills, there's not a ton, or Rudy Gay, of course, is there as well. There's not a ton of like sort of Spurs traditional veterans on that team. But it just feels, I would certainly rather be in the Spurs position than the Pelicans. But they do have, as Trey mentioned, they're a really tough schedule. We've got the Jazz again, then they've got the Suns to close out. But it could come down to, again, those last two games, and if teams do potentially rest one or two of those players, and you know, once they've locked up their position, if that's the case, because the Suns and the Jazz will probably be battling to the end anyway for that number one spot. So maybe that will actually help the Pelicans because the Suns will play their players. But it was a very impressive win because, again, the Warriors were in control of this game almost to the, down to that last minute. And then the Pelicans pulled it out, and Lonzo stepped up when I think it was Wiggins hit a three, he came down, hit another one, Steph hit one, and Lonzo stepped into it with confidence. He didn't shy away from it. So that was really important. But I should have brought this up with Seth yesterday. I was looking at it the other day. We might be facing history here, guys. Okay. Stephen Curry is likely at this point to end the season as the league's leading scorer. If he does, he's on pace to be the first guy ever to lead the league in scoring with more threes made than twos made. Mm. Believe that or not, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, back when he led the league in 2015-2016, he had 402 threes. He had 403 twos.
Oh, wow.
He did it by one, yeah. And obviously, I looked at James Harden, but he had so many layups and stuff like that, so he didn't actually have more threes. But, yeah, Steph Curry, he was up 12. I think he's up now. What is he up to? He's 15 more threes made than twos on the season at this point. So
Okay. So it's looking likely.
It's looking very likely. I think he's about a point and a half up on Bradley Beal on the average too. But again, I expect he'll play every game pretty much from here out as well. So I think he's going to do it. We're going to see more history. History just keeps on happening.
Look at you. Are you going on Nerder, She Wrote later this week? With all these
It's funny because I was looking around casually yesterday. I think, I wonder if anyone has addressed this yet, but I couldn't find it anywhere. So
looking around casually?
Well, you know, you just sort of
casually looking on Google and you just lean back.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty unique stat, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, like for a guy to have had more threes made and average as many as he does, I mean, it's Steph, so it's not a surprise, but... Yeah. I would have thought if anyone, maybe Harden did it. But then again, you know, Harden hit a ton of threes, but he had so many other ways of scoring as well.
Yeah, probably at the free throw line, a lot of those were coming too.
Exactly, yeah.
He was living there, especially that season there. Okay, that's great. Great stat there, Lili. Well, let's keep talking about the three ball. I'm one of my guys hitting a lot of them last night. Tim Hardaway Jr. made 10 three-pointers last night. My guy! THJ, another junior. It's junior month. Forget week. It's junior month here. The Mavs rolled past the Heat, who had no Jimmy Butler. But 127-113 was the final score. I will say, I'm always saying Tim Hardaway Jr. is one of these days going to go for 50. He already had 42. Was that just last week that he popped off for that? Or some of the weekend, maybe? And now he goes for 10 three-pointers made, but he only scored 36 points. This is my one concern. My guy hit 10 threes, and he's not even really close to sniffing 50 points, which is weird. But he shot 13 and 24 from the field and 10 of 18. 18 three-point attempts there from distance. Trivia question. Let's throw it at everybody here. He tied the Mavericks record for threes made in a game with 10. Timmy did. Who did he tie? Which two former Mavericks players have also hit 10 threes in a game?
Dirk?
No, not Dirk.
Hubert Davis.
No, not Hubert. I'll give you
Antoine Walker.
Now, take it to the shortened three-point line season.
George McLeod?
Yeah. George McLeod. Nice. That's where we all put our photos. And one more. Surprising. I don't remember this happening, but Tass must have been on the moon when it did.
Tass
loves this guy.
Wes Matthews.
Okay. I forgot he was a Maverick. Threes for the Mavericks. I don't remember that. It happened in 2015, apparently. So, yeah. Anyway, Tim coming through. He is honestly fun as hell to watch when he's on. And this guy catches fire. Like, he's lights out when he's in the zone. I will say, too, though, your guy, your Aussie, rookie Josh Green, Lee, Rick Carlisle was talking him up after the game. He said he was like the real difference maker. He played the entire second quarter, and the Mavs were down. And Carlisle was crediting the rookie's energy there that he brought for this turnaround. So, you know, they outscored Miami 33-15 in that second quarter. He was like crashing the boards, hitting the floor. Had a couple beautiful assists to the corner for three-point shots, where he was driving baseline and making some nice, you know, sort of skip passes or chucking it over the defense there. So he's I don't know. We'll see if he can get a little bit more time here. But yeah. That's what he's got to worry about, just all these the little things, right? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his box score, only 4 points and four rebounds, but he did have more of an impact. And he finished plus 17 in his minutes. So I think you could see that he was out there just trying to earn that respect from the coach. And that's right. If he goes out there and plays hard like that, he's definitely going to get more opportunity. But, you know, he's low in the pecking order. I think he's been down in the G League team there as well, this season. So, you know, it's tough for a rookie to come in and break there. But, work hard and you'll get your opportunity.
Yeah, I saw Josh Bowe, at Bowman55 on Twitter, pointing out that the Mavericks' best lineup, it was Luka, Tim Hardaway Jr., Josh Green, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Dwight Powell. In 12 minutes, they scored 38 points. They outscored the Heat by 18. They did everything. They were hitting the threes, of course. A lot of that was Tim Hardaway Jr. and Luka, but then four steals and three blocks. I love that lineup just in the sense that it's like, it's Luka, he's the show. Tim Hardaway is like the flamethrower. And then it's these like gritty guys that are doing like all the dirty things, and Finney-Smith and then Josh Green now. And of course, Dwight Powell even too. So did well against the Heat again. Mavericks, Trey, have moved up to fifth spot in the Western Conference as we keep our eyes on that 5-6-7 race specifically.
Never wavered, man. I always thought it was going to be the Mavericks getting out of that play-in spot. It all comes down to making threes for them. If Tim Hardaway is going to hit 10 in a game, they're going to look incredible. If he's going to go, you know, 2-for-12, then they're not going to look as good, because if you're able to start a Mavericks recap by talking about two players before you even get to Luka, that is huge for the Mavericks, because Luka's going to be there. He's going to perform almost every single night. It's just a matter of the role players stepping up, and the biggest way that they can help for the most part is making the threes that they get off these wide open passes from the dunk.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, the final games from last night. I'll throw them all at you, Trey, and you can go wherever you want. We had Devin Booker scoring 31 as the Suns dominated overtime to beat the Cavs 134-118. It was an overtime game. We got garbage time in overtime. You don't see that often. LaMelo Ball had a big fourth quarter. Good night for the Ball brothers to help the Hornets escape Detroit with a victory. Buddy Hield, 18 points, 11 boards for Buddy Hield to help the Kings top the Thunder, 103-99. I'm not sure many of you out there were watching that one. And then one I did watch, I stayed up late. The Clippers rallied to beat the Raptors 105-100. Ended the Clippers' three-game skid, but obviously not helping the Raptors' chances of getting into the play-in tournament. I think Fred VanVleet after the game said, "We're the best worst team of all time," or something along the lines. It's what we've been saying all season long. I think there's some truth to it, but that was a tough one. Where do you want to go, Trey?
Well, Skeets, you sort of mentioned it. As SportsCenter's Snapchat said, big night for both balls.
Mm.
23-6 for LaMelo last night, and highlights galore. The big one this time was a Magic Johnson bullet pass to a McDaniels for a dunk underneath. He had another sick dime to a Zeller for a dunk underneath. The guy plays with such functional flair, you know? All of his highlights, I feel like, seem necessary. Lee, you were talking about that crazy switch hand layup he had a night ago. And that, it's like he's weaving around the defense to do it. It's not just pure highlight. It's like it felt completely in the flow of the game. Yes. And that's just exactly how he's playing. LaMelo went for 11 in the fourth quarter, hit a couple of clutch threes, hit a 15-foot floater that was massive. It was certainly a big night for both balls. The only other note I've got from this is Serge Ibaka rocking the Leather Man Inspector Gadget fit. I think Grant Hill called him Darth Vader at one point. Quite the look. Quite the look for Serge. With the black mask as well and the bucket hat. I don't know. I would love to see if his arms are, made of metal and very stretchy.
I think it's more looking like Kylo Ren. Maybe JD can weigh in on that one a bit more. But, Darth, obviously, with the mask and the stuff on the front and the big cape. But Kylo was a little bit more tight, wasn't he, JD?
Was
right?
a little more buttoned up, I think. I think it's a perfect combination of the two, really.
I mean, right.
Oh, no, you know what? I think this is a little more Kylo Ren.
Oh, this is pretty trim. It's got a real Matrix vibe to me, too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, you'd never see a bucket hat on the Matrix, though. Let's be
honest. No, I'm obviously talking about the trench coat there or whatever. Wow. Can they go back and like digitally put a bucket hat on
the
Neo?
One?
Yeah.
Neo?
Yeah. They should. I'd like to watch that again.
The one thing the Matrix was missing was a bucket hat.
Yeah.
Hey, with Matrix 4 is coming out, maybe they've added bucket hats to the Matrix. That'd
be cool, man. Yeah, that was a tough loss too there for the Raps. Again, they're probably out of it. And I don't know if you guys saw Siakam on the fast break. A little out of control. This is very late. They needed a score. I thought he had Kem Birch open. Kem Birch has good hands. Hey, he's not Aaron Baines. You know, he's not Len Siakam. I know you're a little jaded with some of the centers you've had to play with this year, but you can throw him the ball on the fast break. He might be able to catch it and finish. And instead, Siakam just sort of had his head down, and he looked just so out of control at times with that herky-jerky sort of dribbling style that he has. And I think it was Paul George that ended up taking the charge. It was bang, bang. He was moving a little bit, but Siakam was not helped by he just appears to be out of control. So it's that's going to get called a charge. That was a tough play there. I don't know if you were up, Lele, watching that one or caught the highlights.
I think I wasn't up watching that one late in the West Coast.
No, you weren't.
It's been, honestly, the Raptors, they need this season just to end and get ready.
Yes.
Because, Aaron Baines, I honestly thought this is a great signing for the Raptors. It just hasn't worked out for them, but their season's never really been able to get going, and Pascal and Nick Nurse got into it as well a couple of times. Freddie's been pretty good for them, but you're just looking for that one little glimmer of hope, and it just really hasn't been there for the Raptors at all, I don't think. So,
no.
End this season and look forward to next season. They'll be back. The Raptors will be back.
Oh, wow. I can't wait till I get to come on the podcast and say the Raptors are back next season. I look forward to that. Screaming that at all of you. Yeah. Okay. So those are the games. We're going to get into, though, a little Is This News? Is This News? Throwing some headlines at you guys and to everybody in the stream team, everybody listening. And, you tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. The first one is from Woj, ESPN. Sources: Nate Bjorkgren's future with the Indiana Pacers uncertain due to issues with players and staff. This came out of nowhere last night, TK, but is this news that Nate Bjorkgren might be on the hot seat there in Indiana?
Of course this is news. We've got an NBA coach on the hot seat because of Big Beef. You think I'm joking, but if you only watched Big Beef rebound highlights, you would have seen a Pacers team getting beefed up on the regular. The last 3 20-rebound games have come against the Pacers, 6 of the last 10, all of them since April, but like a lot of people, this is a little odd to me. Pacers were hot at the start of the season. They really struggled right as the year turned over to 2021. They've been pretty much a 500 team since then. 30-34 on the season, which is maybe a disappointment because the Pacers haven't been under 500 since 2015. That's the season Paul George missed most of the year with a broken leg. Just like that year, injuries have been a problem for the Pacers this year. TJ Warren has missed all but four games. Miles Turner has played one of the last 15 games. Caris LeVert missed half the season after his health scare. Jeremy Lamb came into the season hurt, missed the first half of the season. Brogdon and Sabonis, those guys have even missed time, just 8 and 9 games respectively, but that's about 15% of this season. Plus, they've got all these other injuries. Their most reliable players for the Pacers this year have been TJ McConnell, Justin, and Aaron Holiday from a games played perspective. And that, to me, sounds like a team that would be under 500, but obviously it's a little bit more like that, more than that, because some of the words you're hearing in these reports are that Bjorkgren is controlling or abrasive or over-communicative, which really just seems like Nate Bjorkgren is kind of getting on everybody's nerves, and unfortunately for him, that's a little bit a part of this job too, something that's probably different if you're a head coach compared to an assistant coach. We see a team that's struggling to stay afloat during a tough injury season. Internally, the tensions have got to be even higher. You're throwing a new voice who's rubbing people the wrong way, and there can certainly be problems. There have been a lot of, you know, random one-year head coaches in the history of the NBA, so it's not a total surprise, but it definitely came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Lee, what do you think about this?
Yeah, well, I feel a little bad for him because they have had injuries, but everyone has had to deal with injuries. They got off to a good start, 6-2, and it was kind of like, here we go again with the Pacers. It's almost like the Grizzlies when they would just replace their coach, and they just like, the guys know each other so well, they just go out there and perform and sneakily get all these wins. But the wheels really have fallen off in the last month or so. Again, you're missing a lot of players due to injury, so it's tough. But it just feels as though things are different there in Indiana this season than they have been in seasons gone by, where they just can't. They've been getting blown out by teams as well at home, which is a bad sign. So it sounds like I don't know if he survives. He's only really got one guaranteed year left on that contract, so he might be out the door. But tough situation for him to come into there. Injuries, of course, happen to everybody, but if he's sort of getting on everyone's nerves in the entire organization, it might not be a long stint there for him. So the Pacers, Zilla sort of summed it up well this morning. He said their disastrous season has been sneakily going under the radar, but not anymore. So
yeah,
I think that's a good way of summing it up.
Yeah, look, too, this is Woj reporting this. You know there's some truth to this, whoever he's talked to in the organization. And, like, the Pacers beat reporters are backing this up. I saw Jay Michael of the Indy Star. He wrote that Bjorkgren can be too much of a micromanager. And, again, controlling, there's that word, TK. I guess Brogdon and Sabonis have had his ear. I saw somebody in the stream team saying that Sabonis was seen yelling at Bjorkgren, and probably out of frustration way back in January there. So this is sort of a first-year coaching thing. You got to learn your way, but it is a lot about relationships. And I'd be worried that he'll be there because this feels to me pretty similar to what happened to Lloyd Pierce with the Hawks. I mean, you start losing the locker room. The losses keep piling up. There's more and more frustration, and it's tough to get it back, I think. And, you just never know if Nate Bjorkgren can do that. And then on top of that, you see Nate McMillan, of course, who was the coach. Remember he got an extension?
Yeah.
And then he was like fired a week later, and I was like, that was weird. But you're like, okay, they're tired of losing in the playoffs in the first round all the time. You know, Nate always gets them there. They have an identity, defensive minded, play slow. But then he's gone because they want to go on to bigger and better things. So they bring in Nate Bjorkgren, try and play faster and try and shoot a lot more threes, a little more modern game. But yeah, Nate now with the Hawks, like, obviously doing really well. That team got healthier, so that helps. I get that. But yeah, they're up to the fifth seed and are knocking on the fourth seed there, so that doesn't help Bjorkgren as well. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. This is never good. I don't like his chances, really, like to sort of save this or turn it around. Because once this stuff gets out there, oh, God, that means it's really bad. Again, I think if Woj is dropping this bomb with, what are we at, 8 games to go, too? The timing of this is even a little fascinating to me. And this is a team that's in the play-in tournament. You know, this isn't like possibly, you know, Luke Walton with the Kings, and they're trying to get in still, but they're not going to make it and stuff like that. Like, this is a team that is in the mix. They've just been floundering, but there's a big report from Shams and I think it was Sam Amick on The Athletic. basically going through the coaches on the hot seat, Lee, and we've done this before, and I don't think many of the names have changed from these guys that are plugged in. It's obviously Nate Bjorkgren, Terry Stotts with the Portland Trailblazers, just in the sense that he's been there so long, and if they continue to struggle, then maybe they just go with a new voice. Mike Budenholzer, as we've said a million times here on this podcast, if they lose in the first or second round or get embarrassed in a series, that he probably is the one change you're making, because you're not obviously moving on from really your three core guys in Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. And then who else did they add? Luke Walton, and definitely not the King. And what was the fifth name I'm forgetting?
Scotty Brooks.
Thank you. Yeah, Scotty Brooks. Right.
I think he's out of contract anyway as well, Scotty Brooks. He might have done enough to get an extension here. Who knows? But I think Budenholzer is an obvious one. And Luke Walton, I think he's as good as gone anyway. I think it's very, very tough to see him staying on with the Kings next season. And Terry Stotts is almost like Scott Brooks there in OKC. It's like he's been there so long. If they don't really make a good, strong run into the playoffs, it's almost like we just need a new voice in there anyway, try to mix things up, because I think that would be the first move the Blazers would make before trading potentially CJ McCollum, if that's what they thought they needed to change things up a bit.
All right, our next headline, this one from Shams and The Athletic. The Hornets' Miles Bridges out 10 to 14 days in health and safety protocols. Is this news? Yeah, it is, because he was playing really, really well. And the Hornets are in a playoff race here, trying to either get up to the sixth seed or obviously stay in the seventh seed there in the play-in tournament. He's only averaging 12.4 points per game, 6 boards per game this season in his third campaign, but over the last little while, I think it was over the last 6 games, Lili was scoring, close to 22 points per game, over 20 points per game, more than the, that benchmark that you're tired of when we were talking to Seth on yesterday's podcast. But the timing of this is brutal for the Hornets, because LaMelo Ball just comes back. Malik Monk comes back, both from their injuries where they were out multiple weeks. And now they say goodbye to Bridges, who was filling in for another injured guy in Gordon Hayward, who's been out for since early April, so about a month with that sprained right foot. So they're just like trying to keep their head above water. They get one guy back and then another goes out, and they get him back and another goes. It just sucks for the Hornets.
Yeah, that month of April was really good there for Bridges in 16 games, averaging 19.7 rebounds, shooting 52% from the field and 47% from three-point range. He really did step into that role and perform it well for them. So this is a blow. And also, just as we get LaMelo back, he and Bridges have been so great. We've got Eric Collins on the call. I mean, that's something we're really going to miss. But Eric Collins actually makes any play sound awesome anyway. this is tough. And you just hope, like every team, though, as well, like we're just talking about the Pacers, they're dealing with injuries to all their sort of key players at some point this season. But they are able to just hang in there. And if you look at their record, they're actually, a game and a half up on the Pacers themselves. So it doesn't feel like James Borrego's in any trouble at all. It feels like he's done a very good job with everything that he's had this season. So hopefully, I'd like to see the Hornets get into the playoffs somehow. I don't know who that would be at the expense of, but it'll be fun to watch them. I think if they're healthy, as with every team, they're a chance to at least, compete in the playoffs. I don't think they'd win a round, but I don't think they'd get swept either.
Yeah, so this is now Bridges and we just had Dennis Schroeder. Similar situation, right, Trey? Mm-hmm. Where he's out for basically the rest of the regular season is what we're getting. We only have 2 weeks left. And
not much time.
It's 10 to 14 days. So we're not going to see either Dennis Schroeder or Miles Bridges until possibly a playoff series.
Yeah, and both teams are kind of in the same scenario right now where they're just trying to get to number 6 and stay at least number 6, right? And that's why, to me, it's news. It's certainly news, because I'm going to miss the LaMelo to Miles Bridges highlights for sure. But as long as Bridges is back in time for the play-in tournament or for the playoffs, same with Schroeder, I don't actually think this is really news. The Hornets have already exceeded expectations. They are going to be a playoff team, which I don't think a lot of people thought was going to be the case coming into this season. Already a good year. If Miles Bridges is able to get back in time and actually play in the postseason, all good.
Yeah, what is the update, too, on Gordon Hayward? Do we know when he's coming back? I know he was, going to be reevaluated. That was the last, I think, we heard, but that was a long time ago now. When are they reevaluating Gordon Hayward? Has he got his haircut yet? What's going on?
nothing popping out so far. It has been very quiet, though.
Yeah.
Three days ago, he got out of his walking boot.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So
doesn't make it sound like he's coming back right away.
No. No. Okay. So I guess we'll be keeping our eye on that. The Gordon Hayward situation. Oh, for a long, long time. All right. Final one. Probably my favorite headline from the bunch here. But again, is this actually newsworthy? It's from SI.com. And we're showing you a photo. The headline is Suns gorilla mascot signs first ever mascot apparel endorsement deal. Look at this guy. Look at the drip on this guy. So Trey, get us started. Is this news? The Suns mascot just signed an apparel deal, an endorsement deal.
Oh, come on. This is news only because it's hilarious. The picture of a gorilla signing a contract? Are you kidding me? That's a great picture. Also, the one of the gorilla doing an arena walk, just dripping in designer. A hilarious thing. I don't know who in the world is going to be watching a gorilla mascot walk into a game and think, I gotta get what that gorilla wants. Give me the gorilla. Give me that gorilla glue. But shout out to the gorilla getting a bag. I think they called it an MCM bag as well. Everything's coming up Suns this season. Their mascot just signed an endorsement deal.
Yeah, and the endorsement deal is with like a luxury brand, right? I guess in the area. It's not with like a particular just straight up like Bape or something like that.
Right,
or Supreme.
I think it's
like,
a boutique, right?
Boutique, yeah, that's I guess the word I'm looking for. So he might have all this stuff, basically.
Exactly right, exactly right. Can't wait to see what he wears next. Which is actually kind of confusing. I feel like the gorilla doesn't usually wear pants, right? Like usually just going with the Suns, like a button-up, warm-up look.
Yeah, I can't remember.
What do you mean, pants? Okay.
Yeah, he's usually just going, gorilla fur out jumping off a trampoline or whatever. So a little disingenuous to me if he's going to be pitching pants. I can't get on board with that if the gorilla's going to be telling me, you got to get these pants, and he's not wearing them himself. I don't know.
Yeah, Lee, what do you think about this, the gorilla signing this apparel endorsement deal?
Well, for me, the gorilla is the OG mascot of the NBA still. I think he's the one that sort of stood out the most. So I'm glad to see him getting a little bit of recognition through through this. But do you think all the previous gorillas also get a cut of the, they get their own shoes and stuff? Because there must be, I mean, I'm guessing there's probably been four or five of them now throughout the years. I mean, he's been around since the early 80s, I think, at the gorilla. So, you know. I wonder what the hierarchy is amongst gorillas in the history of the Suns there.
So hold on. What are you asking? Are you saying all the people that have previously played the gorilla in the mascot, if they get like kickback from this boutique? Is that what you're at?
Yeah, I mean, they're all part of the one gorilla family. I mean,
yeah, but they're done, man. Like they're long
they're
gone.
They're retired?
But well, I don't think they have four or five people playing the gorilla on a rotating basis.
No. I'm saying over the history of the gorilla's lifespan, there has to have been. Because I think the raptor is still the same raptor from the inception, but he must be getting up there too now.
Yeah. We know Benny the Bull has been a couple different people.
Yeah.
Since, we've been following the mascot game closely. I don't know. Okay. What other mascot would you like to see get an endorsement deal? Get in some AK threads, Lily? Who would you like to see?
Yeah, I think Hugo. Hugo and Gorilla are the two that I just sort of think are the best mascots. I mean...
Whoa. More than ours? More than the Raptor and Benny the Bull?
Raptor and the Bull are good. That is true. But I sort of remember Hugo when he did the somersault 360 dunk and then sat on the rim.
Yes, I remember.
I remember that from I think it was an All-Star weekend.
They had a mascot dunk contest. I think you can search for it on YouTube.
But I just remember those early days of the Suns. I think it was, what was their America West Arena or whatever it was called there, and the gorilla coming down going crazy. Like it was just, I mean, because there's still no connection between gorilla and Phoenix, is there? Like it's just nope. Like, hey, we're just going with the mascot. Let's go with the gorilla. All right, that works.
I think there is a story to it that I can't recall off the top of my head. Why it happened. But okay.
But Benny is great. Benny is entertaining, no doubt about it. And so is the Raptor. But Gorilla and Hugo for me are the sort of like, they're just my all-time faves.
I think Hugo's already got a Jordan deal, though. He wears Jordan 11s usually. He's got he doesn't have to get them from a resale shop. He's getting them straight from the man himself. But I love the idea that the previous gorillas have gorilla equity and they get to share in any profits that the gorilla may accrue in the the future. You got shares? You got a fractional gorilla here?
Well, I think because you're a custodian of the gorilla costume, aren't you? No one is the gorilla. So it's like, you've got such a reputation to uphold. I mean, the OG gorilla, you know, he was going crazy. So you, the next guy has to, like, make it a seamless transition. So it's like, they're all, you know, they're all together in the one team, the one gorilla team.
But, okay, so like that's like me moving on from the podcast. You guys slotting in, I don't know, Danny LaRue for crying out loud. But hey, I better see some of those Roman dick pills you've got. And you better come through with a few Felix Gray glasses for me. And, you know, I put the time in. I want to get, okay, this is what you're saying. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
I hope you're not on the hot seat now that Danny LaRue's, now that you're throwing Danny LaRue's down.
Well, like, this is like, this is my point. Sam just said in the stream to you. So what's Matty O's cut of the ad read? It's like this is what I'm getting at.
If he does an ad read, I'm happy to sling him some product that we get. Absolutely. You can do a Manscaped ad read, Matt, and I'll sling you some of the Manscaped stuff they've sent to us, because I got tons of it. I'm more than happy to share that stuff. What else? What else we got here? Yeah, I've got a pair of Felix Grays. Matt's a glasses wearer at times. He can have those.
You want to throw in some Magic Spoon while we're at it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he'd love the Magic Spoon. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm keeping my Sonos, though. That's probably one of my favorite ones. That's incredible.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. Well, let's go seamlessly from those ad reads that weren't ad reads into the actual ad reads. JD, what do you got for us?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Okay, Tweet of the Night. It's a little weird, and it has a little bit of a backstory to it. A few days ago, I decided, I still don't really know why, but I was going to share the ads or the graphics slash art, whatever you want to call it, that are on the top of the backboards for every single NBA arena. This is something I've just been taking screen grabs of all season long, and I finally acquired all 30 of them, and I was like, well, what am I going to do with this dumb folder now on my desktop? Hell, I'll start a Twitter thread and I'll just tweet them out. And a lot of you were
Danny LaRue would never do that.
Danny LaRue could never dream of having the tenacity and the commitment that someone like I do, that I do to have to do something like that. He could.
Sicko Skeets, you can't touch him with the screenshots. Come
on. No. So I did this. You can go check it out. Look at me up on Twitter at JE Skeets. But anyway, one of them, when I was showing the Brooklyn Nets top of their backboard, I tweeted the photo of it. There it is. And I said, the Brooklyn Nets with the Red Bull energy drink. Y'all think KD, Kevin Durant, knows who Max Verstappen is. Obviously, F1 racer for Team Red Bull there. In Formula One, TK and I are all into it. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. You know, I just needed something to say with these dumb photos that I was putting in this thread. So Trey and I started talking about it again on last night's Top Shot Hot Boys. It came up again. I got a Kevin Durant moment. You know, TK's like once again doubling down on, you think KD knows? And we were like debating it. I was like, I'm skeptical. Why would he know who Max Verstappen is? Like, is he an F1 racer, a fan? I've never heard him talk about it. Trey, you were like a little bit like, maybe he is. Like, how do we know he's not? He was out for a while, wasn't playing basketball, maybe picked up a new sport. Maybe he's always been a fan for all we know. So I said, hey, I'm going to tweet at Kevin Durant. Let's find out. This guy responds to people. So sure. I tweeted some point last night before I was about to go to bed. Hey, Kevin Durant at KDTrey5. Random question. But do you know who Max Verstappen is? I'm asking for a friend. I was asking for that friend, Trey Kirby.
Me.
He responded to me because Kevin Durant is on Twitter. Though it was a weird response. Yeah? You got a joke ready? Holy man, KD, geez, the trolls have gotten to you, man. I'm just asking you a simple question. And I just responded, no, I was just legit curious if you were an F1 fan. Trey Kirby thought you might be. Appreciate the response. So there it is. I guess he is. Or at least he knows who Max Verstappen is, TK. Hmm. So in the end, you were right. Though my man, Kevin Durant, needs a hug, man. Holy, he's just like, he get on Twitter, he's like, what do you want? What are you going to say? Why are you going to make fun of me? No, I just wanted to know if you were an F1 fan.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough night for Kevin Durant. Took another loss to the Bucks. Mm. He was obviously ready to throw down on Twitter last night, but I got to be honest with you, Skeets. I had a little bit of inside information here. This is a photo of me from the 2017 NBA Finals. That's me, that's Neymar, and there in the orange jacket, that's the one and only Lewis Hamilton getting ready to watch KD take the court for the Warriors in the finals for the first time. This is 2017. You have to imagine perhaps they had some sort of interaction there. And then, like I was saying on the stream last night, Drive to Survive is huge, man. How can you ignore it at this point, especially if you're an internet kind of guy like Kevin Durant? Surely he's had the time to check it out here and there. Still haven't heard back from him yet, though, on who he thinks is going to win the Barcelona GP this weekend. We shall see.
Yeah, that's true. We got to find out how much of a fan he is. Is he actually watching qualifying? Is he into the races? Or does he just, because of Drive to Survive, know who he is?
Sure.
Has he ever met him? That's a follow-up question. But I was afraid to tweet back at that point. I was, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Can't even ask this guy a question. This guy's all fired up. But anyway, thanks for responding again, KD. Mm. Lee, what'd you think? Are you shocked at all that he knows who Max Verstappen is?
No, because actually, Trey, bring up that photo. I was going to say, Lewis Hamilton's often been to the NBA Finals. I think Lewis Hamilton was kind of friends with Kobe as well. So I think there's a bit of an overlap there from the racing world to the NBA world. So it makes makes sense that at some point, Kevin Durant has certainly met Lewis and maybe Verstappen as well. I'm not sure. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we tend to think that basketballs have to be tall, but for a Formula One race driver, you need to be small. So it's like really the opposite sort of for Formula One drivers. You know, the smaller you are, the better it is, you know, when you get into that cockpit. So be great. Wouldn't it be great to see Kevin Durant in a Formula One car just
That'd
to see
wild.
How he
wow.
would go?
Wow.
I wonder if he drives. Yeah, or if he just puts the legs out over the side there and drives.
Wow, he might have to.
Yeah.
He might have to. This is a great idea. Try and get Katie on happy hour? Yeah, we'll put the request. I'll tweet him back. We'll see what he says.
Right, come on, happy hour. We won't talk basketball. We're just talking F1.
We will talk. We don't talk basketball on happy hour. We'll talk about everything else, Katie, if you want to come on. We'll talk about F1, NFTs. I'm sure you've had some, I know you've had some experience with moving houses. Yeah, we get into all of that. So, yeah, come on, happy hour, Katie. Open invite. Whenever you want to swing by, jump on for 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, so that was a weird tweet of the night, but can't believe he responded. That's great. Pick 'em results from last night. It was the Nets Bucks game involving Kevin Durant there. I swerved. I took Milwaukee to win by 2 or more, and it came through. I'm 2-0 for this month of May. Pick 'em results brought to you by BetMGM. Everybody else had the Nets thinking, that's difficult to win these little baseball series, to win both of them like the Bucks just did. So everybody had the Nets besides me, and that's an L. Lee, you're 0-2. Here in the month of May. $100 to charity on the line, which we're loving.
It's not a bad month to lose then, is
no,
it?
No, that's right. That's right. Though if you don't win in a game the entire month, you have to give $500.
That's fine. Okay? I'm fine with that.
Because that would be really impressive if you just can't pick one correct game over 2 weeks. But anyway, tonight's game is your New York Knickerbockers versus the Denver Nuggets. It's in Denver. Nuggets are favored by 3.5. Let's start with Tassie here on today's show. Let's see who he's picking.
I'll take the Knicks. I've decided I'm trying to lose so I can give some money to charity. I think the Nuggets are going to win, but I'm taking the Knicks.
Oh, boy. Here we go. It's getting interesting. Cute. Yeah, he's getting cute with it. I love it. He is taking the Knicks, though he does think the Nuggets ultimately will cover. But, Lee, where do you want to go?
Well, if Tass is taking the Knicks and this is the month you want to lose, I too will take the Knicks.
Wow.
I'll get down in the gutter there with Tassie, and I'll see if I can go 0 and what is it, like 15 or something?
No, I won't even be that much because I mean, it's what? It's this week and next week, isn't that? That's all.
Is that it?
Yeah, is I that guess all so. That's okay. left? Right. The season, I think so.
Well, I'm going to try for the perfect month then, because I actually was going to pick the Nuggets. I thought I think they bounce back and they're at home, and the Knicks have been good, but I think this is a bridge too far for them. But okay, I'll take the Knicks. Sure, see if I can go 0-3 and keep this perfect streak intact.
All right, good luck to you, TK. You want to try and pick a winner?
Yep. Yeah, okay. I'm going with the Nuggets here. I think they're going to win the basketball game. I think they're going to cover the spread, and I would like to win this month, actually, just because of competitive natures.
I'm also going with the Denver Nuggets to cover this somewhat small spread here of 3.5. They just lost, and the Knicks are playing phenomenal basketball. I think it could be a close one. It could be one where the Denver Nuggets win the game but don't cover, but I'm with TK. I'll go Denver to win by 4 or more, and we got Lee and Tassie taking the Knicks, though. They're doing it to sort of tank here. It's very strange, but I love it. I love it. All right, guys, we'll call it there. Thank you so much for joining us here in the stream team. If you came through live, like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for the next Beach Step and podcast. We are hitting the beach later today here on Wednesday, so you can join us live on YouTube at 3 p.m. Eastern. Grab your No Dunks merch, like the shirt I'm wearing, the shirt Lily's wearing there. He's got the Good Morning Sweet World shirt. You can get that over at nodunks.com. And subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. I will say this. Tomorrow, our daily show, we're going to start a little bit later. It's going to be an 11 a.m. Eastern start. And the reason why is we're going to have on a West Coast guy, so we wanted to give him a little bit more time in the morning. The Washington Post, Ben Golliver, is going to join the podcast to talk about his new book, Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. He's just going to come on the entire show. You know, Ben knows his stuff. He does like a million podcasts. He knows every team in the league, every player. So we'll just have him on. And we'll talk to him about his book and his writing process and all that. But we'll probably just talk a bunch of NBA and all the games on tonight. So that's tomorrow with Ben Golliver at 11 a.m. Eastern. That's on Thursday. But we'll see you later for that Beach Steppin' podcast.
I saw your tweet, Skeets. You said we were also going to be able to talk Lego with him, because I remember he had like a Lego Lamborghini he brought into the bubble. I've been building a couple of Lego things here recently. Threw together this Thanos you see over my shoulder here. Did an octopod with the girls not too long ago. So
nice. Let's see that.
I'm excited. Yeah, yeah. Look at my guy. Look at my guy, Thanos. My guy, Thanos. He's got the... sorry, give him a little Richard Jefferson here. Got the gauntlet here. He's technically wearing his mech armor. I don't know what that is, but love having my guy Thanos around. Can't wait to talk blocks with Ben.
Yeah. Got to bring a few, too. I got some.
Yeah, straight Lego talk.
Yeah. Okay, there'll be a lot of Lego talk. Yeah, if you have questions for Ben Golliver about Lego or the book that he just wrote or about the NBA, you know, drop them in the YouTube comments below. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. But we'll be back for a Beach Steppin' later today, and then we got Tass's What You Need to Know in the morning on Thursday, and then that 11 a.m. Eastern start with Ben Golliver on Thursday. All right, Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, don't actually have a quote. Skeets, you got a joke ready?
No. Thanks for stopping by. Brace the day, people. You could stay.